Next on BYUSN, we present your 2025 BYU Spring Football Sports Nation Special, including a big picture look at the state of BYU football as we push towards game number one in late August. Our guest lineup includes BYU defensive tackle transfer Keanu Tanuvasa on how he is transitioning to the BYU environment and scheme and how he got exactly what he wanted out of spring practice.
Transfer tight end Carson Ryan breaks down how he's building chemistry with Jake Retzlaff and how his time at UCLA and Utah is helping him here at BYU. And defensive backs Trey Alexander and Tanner Wall detail spring practices for the secondary and what BYU's motivation is this season.
Motivation? How about lots of interceptions? Again! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation and this Spring Football Special presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who is ready for the budding blossoms and a budding football season, Jerem Jordan.
I do love spring because it means we are closer to football season. We had such a wonderful, amazing men's basketball season, and right now baseball and softball and everybody's rocking it, men's volleyball. Let's get to football later in how many days?
Woo.
Countdown to the Vikings.
141!
Like, weird numbers. That's all we go for when we do the countdown now. Not nice, normal numbers, just weird numbers!
Is 141 a prime number? You don't have to answer that. You don't have to answer that.
It doesn't matter.
You know what does matter? Rising and shouting, because it's time for What's Trending. It's not often that we're in a situation where spring football takes a backseat to many things, but because BYU men's basketball
third most popular
so good.
It's mostly learning and just trying to get the basics down. A lot of good things happening, though.
I think we've started in a great spot, kind of picking up where we left off. I like where we got.
We're on the verge of being one of the best offenses in the country, and that's what we're trying to be. Knowing that, it just is another motivator for this offseason.
Without question, March, and frankly, early April, as we surrounded ourselves with BYU basketball, was extra sweet, Jerem.
It was awesome.
Sweet 16. But
or
you know
I'd
what?
Have said the salty 16, as we were.
It was the perfect combination of sweet and salty.
Love that.
Now, that said, BYU football kind of just quietly doing their thing and didn't get their due. So that is our purpose here today.
Yes.
Is to give BYU football out of spring practice their proper validation and credit, and get to that with some spring football superlatives. So, beginning with this, you know you love superlatives, Jerem.
I love
you love to speak in absolutes.
Every time
too.
You speak in superlatives, I love it. Every always never didn't do that. Yeah, I love superlatives. You know that.
So here's what we're going to start with. What's the biggest strength of this BYU football team fresh out of spring practices?
Experience. This is a team that largely returns most of its core from a team that went 11-2 and won the Alamo Bowl convincingly. They're motivated. They felt like they should have been in the playoff in the Big 12 title. They weren't. They're upset about losses to Kansas and Arizona State. You got a veteran quarterback. You got a great linebacker core. You got a loaded wide receiver and safety room. I think the experience is the number one strength. What do you think?
Mine goes hand in hand with yours. Leadership is the word that I'm going to use. There's clear leaders designated on this team, led by quarterback Jake Retzlaff, and that just matters so much.
Always good to have a senior quarterback.
Yes, and he's, you may have noticed, very brash and out there about being the guy. In fact, this is the first time, and he told us this not too long ago, that he's going into the season at BYU, and really in his collegiate career, where he's clearly the guy. There's no competition for that quarterback spot at all. It's just Jake's spot. It's been declared.
Yep.
It's done. He's the guy. He's the clear leader and the leader of a team of leaders. You look at the defensive side of the ball, Jerem, it's just full of guys with experience that have leadership capabilities. Jack Kelly in the linebacker core is one that I look to. Tanner Wall, who we're going to hear from later in the show, is another guy I look to for leadership in terms of the safeties and what they're going to do on the backside of the defense.
Second question, biggest question mark.
Defensive line. What is around Keanu Tanuvasa? I feel very confident about every single position group on this BYU football team, except maybe what is the depth like on the defensive line? Because BYU has to replace some really, really key pieces, including Tyler Batty, Isaiah Banya, Blake Mangelson, John Nelson. Like, that's a load of talent and experience to lose in that position group.
Those two D tackles specifically Mangelson and Nelson did a very good job. Those were dogs. Those guys worked so hard.
And probably underappreciated.
They're batting balls up in the air. The BYU's picking off. They're making TFLs. They're getting in the backfield a little bit. That was big time. For me, it's offensive line. You have some good experience coming back with Bruce Mitchell, who showed out well last year when Connor Pay got hurt. Waylon Lapuahu, Austin Leusa, Sonny Macassini. You have some new guys that have to fit in, right? Isaiah Jada, Andrew Gentry, the Michigan transfer. Those could be your tackles, plus young guys like Joe Brown, Kyle Safarczyk from SUU and others. So I like the group. I just think it takes a minute for those guys to gel. They have to come together in a way that no other position does. They have to be in sync as five guys at the same time right by each other. So O-line is that for me.
Okay, next superlative, the deepest position group. This is tough because there are a bunch.
It's not tough for me. I think wide receivers are the deepest, clearly. I love the linebackers, too, and safeties, but wide receivers. You got Chase Roberts, Keelan Marion, JoJo Phillips, Parker Kingston, plus Cody Hagen got in there a little bit. Tane Nakua is making plays in spring. That's six guys. You're too deep there, and that's with losing Darius Lassiter.
It's probably the receivers, but I'm going to make a case for, I believe, the safeties and the linebackers on the defensive side of the ball, because you just bring back everybody. You talk about the three starting linebackers that are the most prominent there, Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, and Harrison Taggart, and then Ciale Acera expects to play a bigger role. So I like the linebacker room as well.
Ace and Mike Kafusi had a good spring, we heard as well.
Yes.
Jay Brandt Struthers is back. I thought he was gone. He's back.
And he played some meaningful snaps in big-time games.
Yes.
Okay, so that
Miles Hall is back. He played a little bit.
That's probably number two for me. Mm-hmm. But I think the safeties deserve some credit as well. Led by Tanner Wall, Raider DeMooney, Talon Alfrey, all those dudes, Jay Hill,
Tommy Prassis, Palatel Satuella.
They're the young guys.
All five of those guys played a bunch.
Yes. And I know that Tommy got a little bit more notoriety because of his role.
The scoop and score against Kansas State.
But those two position groups deserve a fair shake along with the wide receivers.
Defense is pretty good, stinking good. That back seven specifically, amazing. Who's your spring ball MVP? This is the thing that we like to do every year, which is really fun and completely meaningless.
I always want it to be the quarterback. That's what I want it to be.
If it's not the quarterback, I have questions.
But I'm going to lean on what Jake Retzlaff told me, and he said, as far as the offense goes, it's Carson Ryan.
Wow. That's a good one.
In his words, said he went to another level. He was utilized heavily in the spring offensive practices. And then he also allows Carson, because he's a good blocker, like BYU's doing some things with the run set. They're showing a couple of multiple two-back sets, three-back sets, Jerem.
We saw, we saw 30 personnel last year, three
yes,
running backs,
which is crazy. We should see more of that. But Sione Moa is another name I'm going to mention. Like, he's a guy that, all of his teams, he runs so violently.
Spring ball MVP is Keanu Tanivasa on the D-line. He came in right away, and he became not only the leader of the group, but one of the best players on the defense, if not the best player. He's got the leadership, the skills, and he's the best interior D lineman BYU's had in a long time.
Whew, that's saying something, because they've had some guys.
And he talks like he's been here forever. I love it. He's a Cougar already.
I love the way that during the alumni game, he talked about just the feeling of being in Lavelle Edwards Stadium and how much he loves the fans.
He's stoked.
And he also offered up some lofty expectations, but we'll let him talk about those as one of our guests on this spring football special. After the break, the first of our post-spring football player interviews, including the transfer from Utah, Keanu Tanivasa, who goes one-on-one with Jerem about those practices and how he's adjusting a life at BYU. This is BYUSA.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Ahead for BYU football.
And we need our guys to stay humble and hungry and repeat what they did last year and really try to take it to another level.
Stay humble, but we definitely have to work hard.
I feel like the boys are hungry just because we didn't really get what we wanted last year, and we're just fiending for it. So,
those guys will be able to get to the quarterback.
The linebacking core will be one of the best in the nation.
Keanu Tanivasa, clear headliner there to help out the defensive front group.
But these guys are really going to be really good.
It's you against the world.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Spencer Linton. Well, BYU defensive tackle Keanu Tanivasa has big expectations in his first season in Provo after transferring from Utah. We discussed how he's transitioning to BYU, what he accomplished in spring practices, and the unique culture in Provo.
Okay, Keanu, how's spring ball been?
Phenomenal. Phenomenal in everything that I think we've wanted it to be. Yeah, I really enjoyed the process, the dedication of the teammates, the unifying of our players on and off the field, and then the way that we played. We just had our last practice Friday, and that ended exactly the way that we wanted to. Energy, enthusiasm, ruthless defense, technicians, and a unified team. You could see it out there. I wish, you know, the fans could see, but they will. They'll get their taste in the fall, and you'll see all the work that came in before it. So it was really good.
What's been affirmed by being here, and what's been a surprise for you being on BYU's football team?
What's been affirmed is an amazing culture. People that love the process, people that are bought into growth, and a team that is disciplined towards developing what they can. And what's been surprising is the level of unity. I knew that they were connected, and I knew that they had a good culture. But their connection between players, their connection between player and coaches, their connection to the fans, and all of the things that they do to incorporate this scheme of love and culture that they have, it's surprising. I knew they had it, but now being a part of it, it's second to none in my opinion. There's no other team that could compare in unity. And then, you know, what also is surprising is the leadership and the aspect of players leading and taking over and wanting to be what drives this team.
You talked about what you wanted spring ball to be, and how was exactly that? What did you want spring ball to be?
We wanted it to be an experience of failures building us to shape and refine us into what we wanted. So it wasn't perfect, right? A lot of people think you want it to be perfect. No, we wanted it to be deliberate, and we wanted it to be a process of growth. And so for us to peak right at the end of spring ball, that's why it was everything that we wanted. It was, we had scrimmages where the offense would beat us, or we would beat ourselves by not being paying attention to detail, not having enough leadership, not communicating the way we wanted to, or executing. For us, those failures built us to the position that we were at the end of the season, at the end of spring ball. And so within that last practice, we put it all together and we tasted of what we can be truly. And so now we can go and apply that to the fall.
What's the balance of success in practice? Because if it's 100% awesome on defense, oh, the offense stinks, or vice versa. Yet you don't really want it to be 50-50 if you're on the defense. So how does that work?
I feel like we strive for 100% success in the sense of success is defined as 100% effort. So you're gonna lose reps, right? There's other teams, there's people that are sacrificing to become good ball players too. You know, you're not playing against a third grade football team, so you're bound to lose a rep. You're bound to be beat every now and then. They're bound to score. It's a game of football, and so success for us is defined as being deliberate and giving our all. And so I feel like if we can have that, and then we can make the corrections to the details and the technique and the scheme within the film room, then we go and give 100% effort to what we critiqued. That's the development of an amazing team.
Talk to me about who's in the two deep and in the mix at D tackle right now.
Right now, there's me and JT and Josh Singh that are amazing players, unified, and all three of us are really bouncing off of each other really well. We've created a really great level of unity and understanding of who the other person is to work well together. We also have Sani Tuwala as well as Anisi Purcell, who are standouts. We have a lot of guys, Yosefa. So, but you know, ultimately those first three guys that I named along with Sani and Anisi are going to be huge contributors to this defense.
What stats, if any, do you guys use to define success?
I love the term that I've learned along my college growth of there's a terminator, the person that makes the play, and then there's a determinator. Someone who's a determinator is someone that dictates the direction of the play. And so as a defensive tackle, we don't always have the prettiest job. We don't always get the prettiest pick six, or, you know, I don't know if we could catch it and even outrun those guys. But we have the ability to make every play into a defensive play by the ability to suffocate a quarterback, by the ability to get knocked back on the line. And so a lot of what we measure is our effort to determine the play and to help it so that someone else on the defense is able to terminate it, if not terminate it ourselves.
Terminator and Determinator.
Yep.
There's a movie franchise, which was pretty cool. Maybe we'll see the other at some point.
Right. I hope so.
Okay, talk to me about coming into this
program at this time? Because last year at this time it was, hey, people don't think BYU can win in the Big 12. They were 5-7 last year. They used that chip on their shoulder to go 11-2. Now you're seeing this team after that. What's the chip on the shoulder? What's the motivation for this group?
The chip on the shoulder is recognizing the capacity. Recognizing the capacity of the team. The capacity of the team was, this is a college football playoff contender for a championship. And it wasn't able to get that because of two short things that we didn't necessarily perform in the way that we wanted to. And so the chip on the shoulder is, we know that we have that capacity, but are we putting in enough to be that, to be more than we were? 11-2 was amazing, but if anything, that means that's the baseline. Everything we did to get that was the baseline. So now how do we add to that and do so much more so then we're never short of it again for this upcoming year?
I do want to rewind to the BYU-Utah game and sort of your perspective in that, now that you're on this side of what BYU was able to do on that final drive and the hold and the field goal and everything. What emotions went through you now that you're here? Yep. And you kind of look back at that game, which was, on this side, historic?
I gave everything to that game, and I believe that my team did as well. You know, up there at the U, we tried our best. Winning doesn't owe you anything, and there's no promises guaranteed to it. And so within that last drive, BYU, they were able to get it done. That's, in my belief, something that I've always understood is football is a game of inches and seconds. And if you can win a little bit more inches and seconds, then that's what's going to take you the extra mile. BYU did that year. And I feel that we'll do that again because of our attention to detail this year. Was it a hold? I get asked all the time. Maybe. Again, I don't know. It could have been a hold. It could have not been. I'm sure there was probably 500 other holding calls that weren't called or were called. Football, again, it's not made up of one play. The game is made up of a series of events, and so we can't blame one series. It may have been critical to the game winning, but, you know, BYU played a good game, and they were finished on top. And we saw that last year. They finished multiple times. So that's not something that they got lucky. That's something that they trained, that they became, and that we are now, and we're only trying to refine to not have it so close that we can do that earlier and win earlier.
With that said, take me back to looking over and seeing the flag on the fourth down, and then take me back to the field goal.
The flag was rough because, you know, you give everything. And especially in a moment like that, you're like, oh, this is it. I'm going to put everything into this snap. And so we think we get it. We start celebrating. We're in the end zone celebrating with all of these alumni who are standing on there. We're cheering to the fans. And we turn around, we hear whistles, and we see a flag, and we're like, oh, my goodness, what is this, you know, and heartbreak. And it's like, oh, so it's hard to get out of that mental stamina that you kind of just burnt out.
You thought you'd won.
Yep. So then it was hard to bounce back. We tried to fight, battle out of it, and then the field goal, just a heartbreaker. You know, I'd given everything to that game. I was so caught up in the process of giving everything that when I turned around, I looked at the clock and I was like, oh my goodness, there's 2 seconds as that ball's going in. And I was just devastated. You know, I dropped to a knee and I was just exhausted. I was tired mentally, physically. I wasn't terribly sad because that's the game that we play. And I was so proud of myself, of giving that much effort. But, you know, I plan on doing that again this year. So
I heard that you baptized Kalani's son.
I did.
While you were on your mission.
I did,
talk to me about how that happened.
Man, it was insane. I so obviously when you're getting recruited, you call coaches, and we had called on FaceTime. I'd met the kids, met the family through the phone, and I move into this new area. I was called to Canada, but reassigned to Provo, so I'm serving here.
COVID reassignment,
yeah. And I move into this area, I'm looking through some of the records, and I'm like, who's this kid, KK Sataki? I'm like, who is this guy? And I'm like, no way. So I tap on his family tree, or you know, and I'm looking at his connections, and I see Kalani, and I'm like, this is not BYU's head coach. Didn't he have his kid baptized? I'm like, what is it? What's going on over here? And I know this family. You know, I'd been on the phone as they recruited me. So I tried to call. They didn't pick up. I mean, he's a busy man. So I go to the house, I knock on the door, and his wife opens up. And I'm like, hi, how are you? She's like, Elder, I mean, Keanu, you know, because we've talked before. And so we start to get to talking, and I find out that her son, you know, they give their kids the choice. And he just wanted more time to learn the gospel, and that was his process. And I love that. I love that they incorporate agency within their own home. And so we go, you know, it just goes on. And I connect with Keke and my companion, and we start teaching him and teach him the lessons because he's a, you know, not a member. And
how old is he at this point?
He's nine and a half, almost 10. And it just became a special bond for me to not only be recruited by that family, but then to spiritually be a part of their journeys and to be a part of Keke's journey. And so for that, then he got baptized, and it was just a surreal experience. And now being back with him, you know, seeing the kids at practice, being able to see their presence, it's like, man, I was blessed to be a part of their family and to be a part of their journey, and now they're supporting me and mine, and it's a surreal experience.
So Keke was probably the happiest that you transferred here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was so awesome seeing him for the first time back here. KK or Kalani. Kalani was jumping for joy when I called him on the phone and told him. So it's been surreal, yeah.
Were you more with me or Spencer in the safety zone? Obedient?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Of course.
Get out of here.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
We'll keep it rolling with another impact transfer from Utah. Tight end Carson Ryan goes one-on-one with Spencer about his adjustment to BYU and his connection to Jake Retzlaff. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
The beginning of something great right now for BYU. I always say when BYU has a senior quarterback, you've got a chance to be really good off. Jake, I think he took great strides in spring ball. They're deep at running back.
Yeah, you know, we just know what it takes to win.
A couple of tackles, another one. There he goes, touchdown.
Busts a gap. LJ, 40, 30, tackled. Off again, and look at all that room he's got.
And a touchdown. Let's go to Keelan Mary.
Like, why not just pick up where they left off?
Welcome back to Studio B for our BYU football spring recap special. Carson Ryan was labeled the spring football offensive MVP, that according to his quarterback, Jake Retzlaff, and is using his final year of eligibility to play for a third team in his collegiate career. The transfer tight end at BYU speaks now on his time at UCLA and Utah and how those experiences will help him in Provo and how he is certainly building chemistry with his aforementioned QB. This is Carson Ryan on BYUSN.
Carson, I'd just like to point out that I just asked Jake Retzlaff who the spring football MVP was, and he said, well, on offense, it was Carson Ryan. How do you feel about that?
Well, I guess I didn't expect that answer. I don't know if I would have said that, but you know, I'm glad he feels so strongly about me. So, you know, I thought Jake had a great spring. I probably would have mentioned him as one of the MVPs in the offense. So, you know, it's great to hear that, great to that. You know, people are seeing how much I'm doing out there and, you know, thinking that I'm playing at a high level. So I feel like I had a lot to work on this spring, but, you know, I'm glad I was able to get a lot of work done and other people were able to see it. So,
why do you feel like you've acclimated so quickly?
I feel like part of it's my experience. I've been in college for going on my fourth season now and been in a couple programs. And so it's kind of had to adjust to so many different things throughout my career. And it's been kind of helped me learn how to do that quickly. And, you know, I came in running to, you know, meeting with Coach Tyson McDaniel and Coach Gilbride, our two tight end coaches, and learning the offense and getting it down like as soon as I got here in January. And so I was able to get a pretty big head start on, you know, like knowing the offense, going, not just like learning it during spring ball, but already having it learned and then just applying it in spring ball. I feel like helped me a lot to be able to go out and play comfortably and, you know, play fast. So,
understandably, a huge part of the tight ends group and just the tight end position is at times run blocking. You did a lot of that in your career. You're going to do some at BYU. But I ask this because I've heard multiple people talk about how excited they are about the BYU running backs. What are you seeing from that running backs group you'll be blocking for?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a really great running back room. And I noticed that the more we got into spring, I was like, wow, we got a really stacked running back room. And it's, you know, we started using a lot of 2-3 running back sets. And I was like, you know, I'm excited for it. And I played with Pokai Hunga and, you know, Sione Moa too back in high school, so I know what kind of players they are. Like they did it in high school, and they're going to do it again this year at, you know, this level. So I'm really excited for them. We're going to be running the ball a lot. It's going to be great.
Now the spring football is wrapped up. Where do you feel like BYU as a team progressed the most over this period of time?
I feel like it was a good year to help develop some leaders. You know, lost a lot of seniors this last season. You know, like Tyler Batty and, you know, Darius Lasser and a couple other guys in the O-line. Like, a lot of spots we need to fill, you know, leadership-wise, especially in the offensive side of the ball. And Jake's been able to step up a lot with that, too. And it's going in on his fourth season now, right? Or third season?
Yeah.
And know, he's been able to step up as a leader even more. And I'm trying to do the best I can. As a new guy, it's a little harder, but, you know, it's just trying to find those leading, those voices in the offense to kind of push the group even more than what we could be. So I feel like that's been a good step to spring ball, because we were missing that at the start of winter, and I feel like we were able to get that going a lot more. So
now the spring ball is wrapped up. What does the next 3 months look like for you as you gear up for fall camp?
Well, now it's just getting the best shape I can physically right now. You know, I'm feeling really healthy right now, which I'm really grateful for. I know it's had a few injuries in my career, and so it's been hard for me to kind of get ready for the season sometimes, but I'm feeling great right now. So I'm just trying to physically keep getting in better shape, put on more muscle, you know, getting ready to block DNs over in the Big 12 and, you know, get some separation from linebackers. So just, you know, physically getting my cardio up, you know, getting stronger and faster and just nonstop all season. So
we hear the phrase player run practice often when you get together. What typically happens in those formats?
You know, it's been a different practice experience than what I've had at other schools. Like, it's like you said, player run practice, and they put a lot of stress on the players to be leaders. And so, you know, the coaches kind of let us take the reins sometimes with, you know, getting guys going to practice. Like, you see guys walking around, the coaches isn't always going to say something. They expect us to kind of be like, hey, like, we got to jog in the next place. Like, we got to get going. Like, you know, other schools, like, I mean, it's like you just get yelled at by your coach, like, sprint to the next drill. It's like here, it's like they expect the players to do that. And I feel like that's kind of what brings our maturity up as a team and, you know, our connectedness too, because we hold each other to such a high level that, like, you know, it brings all of us up, and the coaches already expect it from us too. So it's, I feel like it helps us grow mentally as a team a lot. So
naturally, we like to look into the offensive versus defensive team dynamic. I know that you're all on the same team, but what have you seen from the BYU defense that has made things competitive and challenging?
You know, they've had a great defense this spring. You know, we had a lot of good competitive practices. You know, like, we'll have a good practice next day, defense will have a good practice, and then we'll get yelled at, and we'll have a good practice next week. And so it's been a lot of back and forth this spring, and I feel like it's been a good thing because, you know, we've been able to get each other a lot better. You know, we got so many, you know, great positions out there in the defense. You know, our secondary is looking great, a lot of young guys there, and, you know, our front seven is going to be really solid here, like a great linebacker room, I think, you know, one of the best in the country. You know, a lot of old guys, vets coming back in that position, and so I think we're going to have a really good stack defense. And, you know, last year they had, like, one of the highest turnover rates in the country, and I think could expect to see a lot of that again this year. So
I had somebody the other day ask me about your hair specifically and then said, does he have the best hair on the team? And I said, he's probably got a case. Carson, where do you feel like you fit in that conversation?
You know, I feel like I try to take care of my hair, take pride in my hair. At Utah, it was much longer, and, you know, I had, like, the long, super, like, man bun flow, like, down to, like, halfway down my back, like, super long hair. Here, I've had to cut it a lot. It's a little outgrown right now. That's been a few months since I got my hair cut, since I transferred, but get another one this week, so it'll be short again. But, yeah, I take care of my hair. Shampoo, conditioner, you know, I brush it out, blow dry it, you know, take care of it. So my girlfriend's been, like, giving me some tips of, like, how to take care of it, and my mom, too. Like, especially when I got long hair, I was like, what do I do to, like, keep it from, like, looking bad, you know? And so my mom and, like, girlfriend have been able to, like, this is what you gotta do. So, and I've kind of, like, it's helped my hair game a little bit. Yeah.
For hair like that, it takes a village, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yes, it does.
All right, the first interview that we did together, we talked about some of your other hobbies outside of football. You mentioned Kingdom Come Deliverance, a fun video game. Some of the fans enjoyed that comment. You mentioned pickleball, but there's one you left off the list you got some trash about. So what was that?
Yeah, I golf too. I got a couple of my friends, my cousin, my uncle, they were like, you didn't say golfing or fishing. And they're like, we always take you golfing and fishing. You didn't mention golf or fishing. So I golf and fish a lot, especially last year. So I do that too. And I play pickleball too. So, but yeah, so that's for them.
Safe to say this summer, with some downtime, there will be pickleball, fishing, golfing, and Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Yes, there'll be a lot of those four things. A lot to come this offseason, so.
Carson, congratulations on being unofficially dubbed the spring football MVP by Jake Retzlaff.
Do I get a trophy? Do I get like a... No?
I'll find out.
Okay. I'll ask Jake about it. Right.
Thanks, Carson.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, hopefully there actually is a trophy for Carson, and it's not the only trophy that he and BYU football will be enjoying in the 2025 season.
Yeah, yeah.
After the break, Jerem's one-on-one conversation with cornerback Trey Alexander on what he learned from stars Jacob Robinson and Mark Collins a year ago, and how he believes BYU can certainly build on defense after an incredible last season. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Critical that the leaders step up and that we maintain or surpass where we were at last year.
Evan Johnson picks it off. Look at his scoop and score. Touchdown, Tommy Prezis.
BYU's second takeaway of the day, and for Faletau Satuala, that is INT number one of his BYU career.
I'll tell you what, Jonathan Cabea's looked outstanding. Trey Alexander's looked good. I see that group stepping up. I think Gennaro's done a good job with those guys.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation's Spring Football Recap. Trey Alexander has a big personality and has a chance to make a big impact for the Cougars on the field in 2025. I spoke with him about what he learned from Jacob Robinson and Mark Collins as a cornerback a year ago and how BYU can build off last season.
All right, Trey, how's spring ball been, man?
Spring ball has been amazing. You know, I actually got the privilege to get a lot of reps that I actually needed. I didn't play a whole lot last year, but I got to learn from, you know, two all-conference guys. So spring ball has been everything I wanted to be, and it's been, like, key for my development, I would say.
How much better do you feel you are from last year when you were watching a bit more, as you mentioned?
I feel like this year, like, right now, like, I'm on a starter-type level. Obviously, this offseason, you know, I want to fine-tune some things, you know, get more technical with certain things, you know, get a better understanding of certain situations of football. But I would say, like, I'm doing pretty good right now. I like where I'm at.
It felt like on defense, a lot of the twos and some threes got more reps than normal on a team that goes 11-2. Did you feel like this team was extra deep?
Yeah, I do. I feel like coming off this last year, we definitely played a lot of people. And, you know, it was something special from this program because, like, I was one of those guys who played in every game except one. And the one game I didn't play was because, like, I had sit out with an injury. So I would say this team definitely was deep. And, like, having that depth will pay off, like, with years like this when we have to, you know, step in and replace a lot of people we lose into the draft.
Which is a good problem, right?
Yes, sir. It's always a good problem, you know, to have, like, a lot of your brothers going to get drafted and, you know, continue their football dreams.
What did you learn from Jacob Robinson and Mark Collins in terms of what you can be here at BYU and then what you can do at the next level? Because it feels like those guys are next level guys.
I learned something different from both of them. You know, Jacob, the way that he came in and, you know, he was a leader without always saying too much, and how he always wanted the challenge of the best receiver every week, and how he always, you know, attacked the ball in the air was something that's special from him. And then Mark, the intent of every practice, you know, every rep, every time we run into the ball, everything with Mark was always about, like, the small little details that you might miss on film. Like, Mark would ask the questions to, you know, get the quarterback to throw certain routes, or how do we get this to happen? And, you know, like, he was my roommate on the road and, like, in his home hotel. So me and him talked before every single game. So Mark really taught me a lot. And as far as, like, the NFL, it really showed me, like, that, you know, size don't matter too much. You know, they're not the biggest guys, but, you know, they ball players and they playmakers. So it definitely, like, you know, give you some extra confidence if you're not the biggest guy.
You bring a certain flavor and personality to the position, which is fun. You like to talk, which is awesome. Jacob is the quiet guy. How did what does that add or to a game, and what do you bring to the table? Because certainly Jacob can be a quiet guy, be effective, and you can be you and be effective too.
I would say, like, that talking that I do, you know, just bring that extra little, like, swag to the room. You know, a lot of people lack, like, identity. And with our room, you know, I came in, I was talking all the time. So it just gave us that extra little, you know, extra little oomph we needed. And I could play like that because, like, in my mind, it's just, like, when I talk, I play my best because I don't want to let myself down. So when I'm out there talking, like, I know I got to raise up to everything I'm saying, and I know I got to play to that standard. So when I'm talking, that's just, like, the best thing for me. When I'm not talking, you should be more worried than when I'm talking.
So when did you start doing that? Like, how old were you, and kind of why did you do that? Who did you learn that from?
Honestly, like, it's just something that was learned. Like, it was just talk to myself, really. Like, I always had, like, a different level of confidence in myself. And I started playing football at the age of 4. So probably by the time I hit, like, 7, 8 years old, like, I was always a talker and always one of those guys who, you know, could pop off anytime. And, you know, being at BYU, having Keelan here, he definitely brings it out of me more because, like, he talk all day. And, you know, I be trying to let him slide sometimes, but then he'd get the wolfing off too much. And it's like, yeah, I got to say something now. So, yeah, no, having Keelan definitely enhances it, but it's been part of my game for forever.
Two Georgia guys just going at it, right?
Yeah, East Atlanta guys, my guy, same neighborhood.
Same neighborhood, really? Yeah. He's a couple years older than you, but yeah. Did you know each other?
I knew of him. Like, we wasn't, like, the closest of friends growing up, obviously, because he was older than me. But he was one of those guys that made it from outside of town. So, you know, he was somebody you can always, like, look up to. Like, I remember seeing him at UConn, like, snagging a one-hand catch on people in practice, you know, taking people deep in the game. So, yeah, he's definitely somebody, like, I looked up to. But, like, we weren't really, like, the best of friends until I got out here on my visit.
That's awesome. And you guys are fun. In practice, I love hearing it, by the way. It's really enjoyable to watch. Let's talk about cornerbacks. Certainly a lot of experience coming back with yourself, Evan Johnson, Maury Bamba, Jonathan Cabea. What's that position going to be like this year?
Position, actually, we're going to be better than we were last year. Last year, we were a good position group. Obviously, you know, we took on some big challenges. But to have the standard be what it is now, you know, all the guys going to try to meet the standard. Not only meet it, but we're going to try to exceed it at this point. So we've been, you know, working out all offseason together. You know, me and Jonathan, we'll get up at 5 in the morning and go train together. You have Maury, who's also been out there training. And you have Ev, who's just getting back from, you know, his injury or whatever. But he's starting back training. So we're definitely going to look out there and go, you know, top what we did last year. We feel like we did good, but we left a lot on the table. You know, we didn't have the most mistakes, but we had enough to the point where we know we can be better. So.
What other guys are in the mix in the two deep?
You know, you have Jaden Dunlap, who's been playing great, who would be, you know, in there with us. Kevin Doe, he made the change from receiver last year. He'd be in the room with us for sure. And then Cannon, who just got back from his mission. Cannon,
Skidmore?
Cannon DeVries.
DeVries.
Yeah, he a ball player. Like, he new to the room, and we like everything about him. We love that kid, and I say kid, he's probably older than me, but
off a mission, right?
Yeah. But our room's definitely gonna be deep this year, and then you got like still got Marcus McKenzie and guys like that. So we'll definitely be a deep team this year. I feel like everybody in our room can step in and, you know, play a role that we will need.
What are the stat categories that you guys use to define success?
Interceptions. I mean, it's kind of like oblivious to say, but interceptions, like, it get the offense extra possession in the game. And if you can take the ball away from the other team, you stop their momentum, you stop so much. So interceptions is the main thing we use. Like, PBUs in our room is, like, cool, but we only really count them if you go for it with two hands. Like, we feel like any time the ball in the air, we got to attack it with two hands and try to get the pick, because if it's close enough in your vicinity, you might as well try to go snag it out of the air. So those are the main two things for sure. And then everything else we look at is really, like, technique-wise. Like, we might have the best play ever. Like, the end of the play might be good, but if the technique wasn't the best, we always try to look at the little things and, you know, get better off of it.
Tell me about your name, because you go by Trey, but your full name is?
Therian Alexander III. In Spanish, you know, it's uno, dos, tres, but it's spelled T-R-E, and that's where the Trey comes from, because I'm the third, and the number Trey and three go close, you know what I'm saying? They go hand in hand. So I'm named after my dad and actually my older brother. And my older brother is TJ, which means Therian Jr., and I'm third, a.k.a. Trey. So that's where my name comes from.
So one day, if you have a son, you're going with the fourth? You got to keep it going?
We're going to see later on down the road. We got to get to that point first, but I might do it. I don't know.
Richie Saunders made a splash with his great-grandpa on the Tater Tots thing.
Yeah.
So now I got to ask everybody, do you have a relative with something famous we need to know about that we didn't know about yet?
Everybody might not have known, but Mike Tolbert played fullback in Carolina those years when they were, like, going to the Super Bowl and stuff like that with Cam Newton. That's my first cousin on my mom's side. So, I mean, that's the one famous person I have in my family, really. Everybody else is kind of like, I'm from Atlanta, so, like, we know a lot of rappers and stuff like that, but I'm not related to any of them. Yeah.
What are you most excited about with kind of a little bit of a break here and then eventually fall camp in August?
Really, I'm excited to go on vacation. I ain't gonna lie. Like, we've been at it about a year straight, just about, with no real breaks. So I'm ready to go on vacation and kick back a little bit. But with fall camp coming up, you know, I'm ready to go into, you know, my second year here and, you know, go get a starting spot. You know, that's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to, and I'm really just looking forward to helping the team any way I can. Last year, you know, I played a lot on special teams, you know, doing my role. And this year, I know I'm like, I have to step up some more because we have some guys leave. So I'm really looking forward to stepping in and doing my job again.
Last year, the chip on the shoulder was 4.5 wins. No one thinks we can do anything. And then you guys go off at 11-2. What's the chip this year?
Chip this year is we getting left out of the playoffs. I mean, I'm going to say the quiet part out loud. I mean, we played SMU. They got in with an 11-2 record. We beat SMU at SMU, and we got left out. It wasn't even, like, discussions to get the last spot. So definitely getting left out of the playoffs, like, it's something that's going to eat you alive for forever. And that's the chip on the shoulder. Like, even the guys that wasn't here last year, I think they understand the frustration behind it. Like, yeah, we could have won two games, but I feel like the disrespect was real loud last offseason. So this offseason, that's our goal. Like, we left too much on the plate. It's time to, like, finish the whole meal this year and go get it all.
How can people follow you and follow what you're doing?
Actually, you can go Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok. It's Therian. It's with my us with three N's, T-H-E-R-R-I-A-N-N-N. And, yeah, that's all my social media handles.
Okay, thanks for the time, and enjoy the vacation, man.
Sir, thank you. I appreciate it.
Still to come, our final one-on-one interview with safety Tanner Wall discusses BYU's successful spring ball and what the motivation is heading into next season. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store.
official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
It's going to be critical that the leaders step up and that we maintain or surpass where we were at last year.
You know the crowd is ready.
Why not just pick up where they left off?
You know the crowd is ready. Get loud and ready. It's time to settle the score. Get loud and ready. Get loud and ready.
I think as a whole, we're way farther ahead as far as just ownership of the defense.
Welcome back to our spring football special on BYU Sports Nation as we continue to recap, yes, what happened in practice and maybe think beyond. And we do so now with Tanner Wall, BYU safety, who had a breakout season a year ago and certainly helped BYU end that defensive effort, creating so many turnovers. I asked him what made these spring practices such a success and what BYU's motivation is heading into 2025 now that they're not going to sneak up on anybody. Here's my one-on-one conversation with Tanner Wall.
Tanner, how would you assess the state of BYU football after what many have called a successful spring football season and that wrapping up?
I think we're in a great spot. I think we accomplished what we were wanting to accomplish in spring ball, right? Got the younger guys a lot of reps, got the veterans a lot of reps. We're able to, you know, really clean up a few things as well. I think, you know, as a team, we're definitely on a great trajectory, especially coming off a great season, looking to build on that, right? Build on that momentum, right? It feels like we're kind of in this, I don't want to call it a golden age of BYU sports, but, you know, the combination of both the football season and the basketball season, we've got a lot of good momentum rolling for us right now. So we want to, you know, keep that and have it project us into our season and, you know, keep building upon what we've already laid as our foundation.
Along with the reps that are so valuable and so many guys got, you mentioned that you were able to clean some things up. What specifically do you feel like you were able to clean up?
I think when it comes to, you know, our defense, especially on the defensive side of the ball, right, it's almost an NFL level scheme, right? We have a lot of calls. There's a lot of small nuances and little details. And the way the defense works is when everyone does their job, you know, we're able to be effective as a defense. And so, you know, really getting guys who, you know, maybe might not have had as much game experience last year, those meaningful reps, you know, with live bullets where it's like, okay, I got to react to what I'm seeing and also execute the scheme, you know, perfectly and, you know, see how that plays out. You know, the mistakes happen. And, you know, we would much rather have those mistakes happen now in spring ball, clean them up, even have a few throughout fall camp, and then when it comes to the games, you know, be good to go. So, you know, we made plenty of mistakes out here during spring ball, but, you know, the coaches, they're glad that we're making them now so we can correct these things and not return to them.
How expansive is the playbook and the scheme at this point because there are so many veterans and now Jay Hill is into year three as the defensive coordinator?
There's a lot going on. You know, we have quite a menu of things we can call. Our coaches love to get these things repped now and in fall camp so that, you know, when we get into the season and we are game planning week to week, you know, we've got quite a selection of different things we can run right across the board. And it's never like a, you know, I don't know how this is going to go because we've never run it before, right? It's all things that we have a baseline understanding of, you know, oh, we've repped this in spring ball or we've repped this in camp and we know how it goes. So it's an expansive playbook for sure. But, you know, that's one of the things that us as leaders have keep harping on with the young guys is like your main focus right now should be learning the plays and mastering that. And then those other things on the field, as the game starts to slow down for you, you can focus on a little bit more.
Coach Hill told me he called 12 or 13 different defenses in the first 15 plays against Colorado. What was that experience like in the Alamo Bowl with the constant shift of different defenses?
Yeah, no, that was just a lot of fun. Like, we believe it or not, we actually had a pretty simple game plan going into that game, so that it's kind of funny to hear that we called 12 different plays in the first 15, you know, plays of the game. But, you know, just our level of confidence going into that game was very high. We prepared the right way. We had great bowl prep practices and, you know, we were excited. The narrative was very one-sided. And so we're like, you know, we got everything to prove and we went out there and we executed. But, you know, that just goes to show that like the coaches along with the players, we all did our job to be on board with mastering that game plan, and we executed, and I think that showed. So,
what is the motivating factor this go around? Everything to prove this year.
I think the word that comes to mind is a championship. Right, we want to win a championship. Obviously, a Big 12 championship, but you know, national championship. That word, focusing on that, because we know what we're capable of. Right, we had a taste of that last season, and it was kind of a weird dynamic, right? Throughout all the off season, there weren't high expectations for us. We knew what we were capable of, obviously, but we had to kind of, you know, keep that to ourselves and prove it week by week. And it almost left we kind of have a bad taste in our mouth from that, because it's like, you know, we were so close to achieving something that no one even believed was possible, except for us, really, during that season. And so, you know, feeling how close that was, and you know, letting that slip. We gotta get back and go prove it again and really achieve what we know we're capable of.
Yeah, there is something to coming off an 11-2 season and wanting to show that it is not a fluke. Is it championship or bust? I mean, from the player's mentality?
I don't know. I've never been like a championship or bust kind of guy as far as like a mentality goes. But I mean, if we think and believe and expect that, then I think our efforts will reflect, you know, a championship level effort across everything that we do. So I think that is our expectation for sure, and we're going to do everything possible to achieve that. And you know, however the cards end up falling, you know, that's how it'll go. But that is our expectation and our belief as far as our team goes.
Well said. I do need to ask you about what you're seeing from the BYU offense led by Jake Retzlaff. What's that like to compete in that fashion, especially during spring ball?
Yeah. No, Jake Retzlaff, he's a competitor. He doesn't like to lose at anything, ping pong, pickleball, whatever it might be. So, you know, seeing their competitive edge during spring ball, some new creative plays, right? We have some great running backs, right? The running back room, I'm really excited to see their production this year. We got to see glimpses, you know, last year of some young guys like Sione Moa and Pokai Haunga. So seeing those guys get more touches, I'm really excited to see what they do with that. I've seen a lot of great stuff from Carson Ryan already, you know, transfer tight end. And, you know, being someone who, you know, played offense and played on that side of the ball, understanding the scheme, right? From, you know, even two seasons ago, I feel like a lot has changed. Like, there's a lot of new wrinkles, lots of new things that are exciting, and, you know, it was fun to go out there and compete with them every single day. And, you know, A-Rod keeps us entertained, keeps us on the edge of our seat, you know, new wrinkles, new things we haven't seen before. So, it was great to be out there competing with them every day.
All right, we'll finish with this. For those that didn't watch the alumni game or the chaos that ensued there, does Rob Daniel, because he's a secondary guy, deserve to be the alumni game MVP?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a no question. Gavin Fowler, if that last touchdown pass had been caught, I think there could have been arguments to be made. You know, coming in, not expecting to play any QB, came in, handled it pretty well. But yeah, no, I think Rob Daniel for sure is the MVP of the alumni game.
Tanner, thanks for the time, man.
Thank you, Spencer. Appreciate it.
That wraps up our BYU Sports Nation Spring Football Special. And, of course, a reminder to all of you to join us for a very unique week with a ton of special guests as Jeremy and I will be cruising with the Cougs. Do you think we'll have opportunities to interview some notable figures?
I think so. I'm just worried about my farmer's tan being exposed a little too much on this. It's a good problem to have, but can't wait to talk to guys like hopefully Jim McMahon, Jim Fredette, Max Hall, Gifford Nielsen, and many, many more.
Are you allowed to do those interviews next to a pool with your shirt off? That's something
I'm
that we haven't
broached. I'm
not in a
position physically where I'm very excited about that idea, Spencer.
Who doesn't want to show off that incredible farmer's tan, golfer's tan, whatever you want to call it?
It's not the tan, it's the dad gut that I've got going now. So I'm not young anymore. But yeah, can't wait. It's going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah. There will be plenty of great content.
And by the
looking
way,
forward to it.
Next time we have like serious interviews with football, media day, around the corner from fall camp, actual fall camp, the season, Cannot wait.
Where's BYU going to be picked to finish as a football team in the Big 12 preseason poll? Oh, baby, let's go. Our thanks to today's guests, Keanu Tanuvasa, Carson Ryan, Trey Alexander, and Tanner Wall.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. The conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jeremiah and Spencer, shout out to TJ Sitake. We'll see you soon. Cruising with the Cougs, and go Cougs.